Good morning, the Holiday Island Suburban Improvement District Board of Commissioners regular meeting for Tuesday, May 26th at 9 a.m. is called to order. We'll now stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the Secretary please take the roll?
Commissioner Pinkley.
Here.
Commissioner Brown.
Here.
Commissioner Reagan, absent. Commissioner Rocher.
Here.
Commissioner Stiff, here.
I declare we have a quorum. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda?
I make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay, it's been moved in second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, then. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 27th, 2026, our regular meeting minutes?
I'll make that motion.
That's right.
It's been moved in second. All in favor say, or any discussion? No? All in favor of approval of the April 27th, 26th regular meeting minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The meeting minutes are approved. Any ceremonial? Any announcements?
I just wanted to ask if we had any further thing with the fire meter testing.
Yep, I got that in my reports.
Okay.
Okay, anything else? All right. So I'll open it up to general comments. Looks like we have three people. We'll start off with Don House. If you can come up, yeah, yeah, come up to the podium.
Morning, Don House,
633. Your microphone.
Oh, sorry, the microphone. Push the little button.
On the front.
On the front, right there.
There you go.
There you go. Thank you. Don House, 68 Shillsburg. We're going to be having a big 4th of July party this year out on the island as usual. Mm-hmm. And the strip between Shields and Shillsburg is way overgrown. It's now up about that high. So if we could, we'd like to get that mowed. That's all I have. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.
All right, thanks.
Okay, the next up is Alex. I don't know how to say your last name. Thursday.
Is there going to be a chance for public comment after?
Yes.
At the end of the meeting? I'll wait because my question and comment may be answered during the course
okay.
of the meeting.
Okay. And next up is Kelly Trahan.
No, I said no.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's my bad. I can't read. Thanks.
Signed in and have it.
All right. That's the only public comments I have. And I'll open up for reports.
So, after four very good applications and interviews with me and Jack Deaton, we hired Fire Chief, and we hired John. John, you want to stand up?
Good morning, I'm John Sturdivant. Most of you know me already.
Oh, if you're going to be talking, go ahead.
The button. Good morning, I'm John Sturdivant. I've been here for a little bit over 2 years now. I know I got a pretty good idea of where we need to go with the fire department. I've let some people go and had some people leave as well. But I've got a very good volunteer staff right now. I've got new people getting ready to come in and new trainers that will help us train at the station. So there won't be near as much traveling out of state and stuff for it. But I'm glad to be here and glad to be here with the Holiday Island.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Chief, I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
When I see we get bills for huge training expenses way off in Texas and Florida. Aren't there any places locally training?
The ones that they did send up to are not available in this area, but we do have some that are that people can go to. And I was speaking with the one that actually I was sent to in Pensacola, Florida last year. I learned a new technique which I had not ever seen. And I got to use it at a fire in Eureka Springs last week. And we used less than 300 gallons of water on a fully involved structure fire. So what I learned down there was a plus, but we will be doing a lot of in-house training. In fact, this next upcoming Saturday, we have an intro class that's going to be 2 days that's being taught in-house. And there will be more taught in-house, as well as the medical side of it. We've got Eureka Springs Hospital and a new helicopter, so people are going to be coming in. and helping our EMTs and people like myself keep up their certification. So we've already got it implemented already and already working on it. I've done that within a week.
Well, my concern is the less we spend on long distance travel, there leaves more money to do local training.
Right. And from now on, if the folks will be going for quite a while, it's going to be as far as we're be going, it's going to be Camden, which is the fire academy. Everything is going to be taught either here close or even in the edge of Missouri. It's the same training, but we've got people now in both states that can do it.
Okay.
And it's like I said, we've already started it, doing it in-house.
Good.
That was one of my first things to do.
Great. So thank you.
Anytime anybody would like to call me, I've either had the cheese phone or my own phone, and I'd say Rich and Stephanie both been able to get a hold of me. I'm always available. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
All right, Chief.
Thanks. We do have a hydrant breakdown. They service 211 fire hydrants, and we've got specifics on every one and where they're located, and each one, I think there was 12 that need repaired.
Probably closer to 25-ish.
20 that need repaired, so I'll get that out to you. Plus, they did a map of every hydrant and where they're located, so we got a nice little map of everything, too, and the ones that are in service, good to go, ones that are blocked out that need to be repaired. So, yeah, we got all that going.
My only thing is, I'm sorry.
I had a couple of people comment to me that while this was going on, these guys created some water leaks and some broken pipes that we incurred and paid overtime and whatever to fix the water leaks that were caused by people that we hired to do this work. And I'm just wondering, do we have any recourse? Because I understand.
We knew it was going to happen. I mean, they did the best they could with, you know, slowing the flow down and trying to take their time. But with our infrastructure, we knew it was going to happen.
Okay.
So, and but they need to, they also still have to come back and clean and paint the hydrants too. So once they get all the flows and everything, so that way they know the color scheme too.
And they're going to do that in the fall?
Fall time.
Okay.
Was there any of them that were completely not working?
Yeah, there was two that were completely shut off and needed to be repaired. A lot of them are seats and valves and just oil and exercise.
Do you normally just replace those? Is that what you're going to do?
Well, I'm hoping that they just exercise them, get them up and going. But the ones that the seats are leaking, it's a lot easier to just dig them up and replace them.
Right.
Because so. When you get a hydrant that's 20 years old and try and break their seat loose and get it up out of there,
say, when it's they're really old, you can't fix them.
So. Yeah.
I would just ask that, or if you haven't already, make sure that gets over to the fire department, especially the ones that
we
are
will get it
back
to him. Yep.
Don't we have some fire hydrants on the shelf?
We have hydrants on hand, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, for them to do it, it was what? Yeah. Which we're not going to hire them to do the maintenance and service because we have in-house, but I think it was like close to $40,000.
Yeah, which price of hydrants now are outrageous. I mean, I think what's the hydrant up to now? About $12,000 or about $8,000? Well, yeah, Dan's not here. I guess Garrett's here. But yeah, the price of hydrants now are just outrageous.
Anything else?
The other thing is we did finally get our insurance check from Municipal League for well number 7. So we got I'm hoping we'll get another one for the control panel and stuff for the golf course that they had submit. But yeah, it took over. It paid over half of what the cost was for Mr. Pump to do all the repairs. So.
Well, I noticed Friday I signed a check for $70,000+.
Yep, and we got one from Municipal for $81,000, so
okay.
It's going to cover most of that cost. Good deal. But we also got to call in and make sure that that's the final one that we get because sometimes they send another one later on. But that's all I got.
Okay. So, the one old business we have is a second reading for Regulation 2026-R2 establishing mitigation rates for fire department services involving Holiday Island Rural Fire Protection District responses. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make that motion.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second and open for discussion. I'll actually start off with the discussion. Since we've posted the second reading, the revised first reading we had on this, I've had some feedback from from some citizens as well as Jack Seaton, the Justice of the Peace for the part of the rural district. And we believe we may have had an oversight that we looked at this when Rich and I were drafting this, we were looking at this solely from the perspective of what's in the best interest for Holiday Island, because it's our amenities and we're using our fire resources to adhere to these ordinances that the county put out for protect the Holiday Island Fire Protection District. What we failed to do in this section here of Section C, no mitigation rate shall be charged under the Section 4, and we had us pretty well covered. What we didn't do was the Holiday Island rural fire residents that pay their annual dues to the Holiday Island Rural Fire District. And so if we were to respond to them, and the rural fire department does support us. They give us, they pay our electricity bills. They give us, got new tires on fire. They support us financially through the dues that people pay in the rural. So I worked with Jack to kind of come up with this language we believe will work to cover those. And there's the other point in doing this is the rural fire department or rural that's what they're called. The rural fire department, they only have roughly a 40% participation rate. There's a lot of people in the rural that don't, so over 60% don't. So by us passing this, it's almost like a carrot and stick approach. It's like if we respond to a rural resident or a rural somebody that doesn't pay into the rural fire department, we can bill you for our resources. But it protects the people that are paying into the rural fire department. I'll add one other thing. We mentioned last month about me, Rich, Jack Beaton, and Gary. What's Gary's last name?
Which
Capsic. I'm just drawing a blank, sorry. Gary Capsic, who's our Justice of the Peace right now, to try and look at a draft interlocal agreement between us and the rural fire district. And so we've got the verbal that I mentioned. There were some questions about what the percentage rate. We went back and clarified, and in the proposal, we had verbal, I believe, with their board, that we would get 50%, half of all revenue they collect would come to us to a line item, that we would have a restricted line item in our budget that says, like, the Rural Fire Department contribution. And those funds would be set there, and then the board would make a decision, the majority of the board would make a decision on how to spend those funds for resource type of items or any kind of items, as long as we then tell them how we use their funds for their accounting side. So we framed that, and they'll still pay the electricity bill for that fire station as well. Right. So we have that framed out. We've been waiting to hear back from our attorney on, it's been a while. So I've asked Rich to send that interlocal, the same one he sent to Matt, send that to the rest of the board, and that you'll have a chance to look at it between now and the next workshop next month, and we'll put that discussion for the interlocal agreement as top shelf of our next workshop. So if you have any questions, because you haven't seen it. I recommend for this, since it's a second reading and it would become, since I made a change there, if you're good with the language, I would suggest you table this and have a revised second reading next month after you've had a chance to also look at the interlocal agreement to see the whole picture as a whole. Does that make sense?
It does, but my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, this regulation, R2, primarily deals with car crashes.
We didn't differentiate there.
Yeah.
The pay structure, there's nothing in the pay for structure fires. It's all about.
But even so, let's say that they have a car breakdown, and their car catches on fire, and they have to be, and we respond to but they pay into their rural. The way we have it without that change, they're not covered. We can do them. See what I'm saying? So
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I think this is, in my opinion, the safest way to cover protect those that pay into it as well as ourselves.
Well, I agree, and I, as far as the car crash part, the majority of the car crashes, I assume the fire department responds to, are not Beaver residents. They're tourists and people from out of state, out of town, or whatever. So I guess the bulk of this is still dealing with car crashes as opposed to structural fires.
But the goal at a, I agree, but at a goal at a high level is we're trying to get away from ambiguity, and so this is a way to kind of, and then also, you know, if I'm a rural resident and I'm reading what we just did, I'm concerned if I don't have that language in there, because I paid into this thinking that I'm going to be protected. I pay my annual dues in the rural, and all of a sudden you're saying, no, you're going to charge me if I have a car, something happen or whatever.
Well,
and I think it's a good faith effort. I think it's good faith, and it is a symbi- and that's the reason I'm really unsupportive of the interlocal agreement once we can get that approved.
I agree, because it's been going on for 3 years I've been on the board.
Have we actually billed every year? Do we bill that $75 or whatever it is to the rural fire?
We don't bill that. Rural is their own. Rural.
Okay, I understand that. You know, I had a guy call me and said, hey, what's the deal? I got a bill for like $75 or something like that. I can't remember what the figure was. I said, well, that's the rural fire district billing you. He said, well, this is the first bill I've ever got. I said, I would assume you need to pay it, because if you don't, you won't be covered.
Well, and I also, yeah, it's, so if they're a holiday resident, we're just basically, the whole purpose originally for this was to protect us, because we're using Holiday Island resources outside of the district, outside of our district, and it's not clear in the statute how that works. So we looked at this to say, well, let's do this, and why it's in the best interest for us to collect and work with the rural fire department.
Okay.
So, but again, in doing that, I think I was kind of tunnel vision from strictly looking at Holiday Island. And that's the reason we have these postings, and we post them to the website so people have a chance to review. They saw that. They gave us feedback, and I think we're getting a better document out of this. If unless you guys have any changes that you want to the language. Yeah.
One of the things I plan on doing is, I've not been in touch with the rural department yet because I haven't had much time, but I want to get with them, and I've got a couple of ideas that will help their. Maybe bring more than just 40% in. Maybe we can double it. I know we did the same thing in Eureka last year, and there's some ideas that I've got that may bring up that amount too. So let me contact them as well, and I'll see if I can work on the other side. This way you guys work on this one.
Perfect.
All right, thank you.
And then, yeah, can you share the interlocal when you send it out to them as well?
Yes, I will.
So we're going to change that, and then
we would add that red line is what my proposal is. And then post that for
next month or whatever, we'll vote.
A revised, just like we did on the first reading, we would have a revised second reading, which would become final unless there's an issue that pops.
Okay.
So with that, do I have a motion to table this? Or
I think this makes it a lot plainer, too.
I'll make that motion.
Table this till next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. So that motion has been tabled. New business, receive and approve the March and April 2026 financials. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I'll make the motion to discuss the financials.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second. I'll open to discussion. We have our March financials. We can talk about those if anybody has any questions, but their April financials we just got yesterday. I looked at it last night, like Randy and I were doing the Memorial Day picnic, so we didn't get a chance to look at it when it came in yesterday until the evening. When I looked at it, I noticed that all of the documents she sent were for April, with the exception of the revenue and expenses one, and it was a duplicate of the March. So I sent that off to our accountant and asked her to send us the new, the one for April. It's probably just an oversight, copy paste, the March versus, anyway, we
so
can't vote on
right.
We can't vote on the April because we don't have the whole financials. So if there's any discussion on the March, I'll open it for discussion for the March if anybody has any questions. Otherwise.
What I've noticed in these financials is that a few of the departments are already running up against their budgets for workman's comp and some other stuff that's administrative that I understand. Why the budget was so low, and they're already, you know, at 70% 3 months into the year.
Is that a one-time billing?
Yeah, it's probably quarterly billing of it. So we're going to show higher at the beginning of the year for paying out all the workman's comp, and then later on the year,
it'll step down. We're 3 months in, and they're at 70% of their budget.
Yeah.
And I look through these financials, when I see that, it's a red flag. When 3 months in, we're already 70% into the budget.
Yeah. If you go back towards last year's, you're going to see the same thing. It's going to start high, then it goes down lower.
Each month or each quarter, it's going to go down.
Yeah.
And because of that, looking at some of these numbers and the percentages of where they're at in the budget being 3 months in, when we approved this budget, we had talked then that we're going to review these budgets quarterly or thereabouts instead of waiting until we're underwater in some of these departments. So I'd like to suggest that in the very near future, we take a look at the budget again and make some revisions.
What if we could do, instead of waiting, when's our audit?
They're working on it now. The auditors are going to be here at the end, well, last week. But Jennifer and everything's gotten everything to them over line and everything else. So they were putting off because they're pretty much getting it wrapped up. And we're hoping that they might not even have to come in. They can just do all the final stuff over the phone.
Okay.
And then once the auditors get done, then we can take... I mean, we're cramming a lot of stuff into July, so we might want to try and look at it more into June. But go through the budget again, line for line, and make sure we're still on track. Because
yeah, there's problems. We need to address them.
Yep.
Well, instead of waiting until year's end.
Yeah, like well, number seven issue. I mean, that's pro shop or the golf maintenance that comes out of their item line. That's going to hurt them big time. But, I mean,
we have the fire truck, and now that we have a new fire chief, I'd like that to be a topic to start looking back into, because we approved the budget on that for it, but we tabled it. No, actually, I take that. We took it out of the budget.
Yeah.
And so that would be, to Commissioner Rouse's point, that would be part of our amended budget to bring it back in, because we had tabled it till we had a new fire chief. Yep.
But we also still have money in the money market to help offset some of the costs.
Right, and at the point in time, the fact the truck I'm driving today has gotten more than one issue coming up. It may have had to go to advanced diesel to find out, because the rear end of it, the transmission is not shifting properly going up and down these hills. We do have another oil leak that's came up and a water leak that's on top. So it's just a matter of time. Like I say, these trucks were bought and used by two prior before me, and I know it was a quick fix, but it's not a good fix. I'm getting ready to move the little freight liner, which I'm going to be moving it back to station one probably within the next week, and outfitting it and making it front line, because it's got less mileage than anything. It carries more water. It's Jack Deaton actually bought it years ago, but we're going to have to do something with that one aging one down there. In fact, I'm planning on moving it to an outer station, because I feel like we can't fully trust it right at the point in time until we get it fixed and find out how much it's going to be fixed, because I don't think it's going to be... I think it's going to be a great number on that one, but it's been gradually getting there. We've also got a problem with the front end on it right now, because the right front tire is starting to work hard on it. So it's done. I mean, I know things have kind of snowballed on me right at the beginning, but this is to the point that we are, and I do agree we need to get a fix for that as soon as we possibly can. And I would like to get some people in the fire department sit down and get a group plan on just what we're looking for, because there is one truck sitting at station five right now that Randy bought. They put too small of an engine in it, and every time we take it, it pops good and runs good on a straight level area. If we put on any seals, it's just a matter of time before it's redlining in regards to temperature. It's not the right size engine. If we could sell that outright, we might be able to get 90,000 to 100,000, maybe even a little bit more out of it, because it's not a bad truck for flatland. But we might be able to use that money as well to kind of help it out. So it's just another option we might have.
Thank you. That's good. And so I almost think that because we'll also be using that as our look ahead for the 2027 budget too, I almost think we'd want to dedicate a special meeting for that. Just instead of a regular session where it gets buried, I'd like to have, how much time does our accountant need to be able to prep after, to be able to start setting that up for?
I know.
Yeah. Ask. So
she should be set up for, I mean, month to month. The only problem is we're going to be a month behind.
That's my point. So if we're looking at June, we're already getting ready into June.
We're looking at May financials and then the start of June, so.
Well, can you just look back and see if there's some time in the late, I'm going to be gone. I don't know if anybody else is gone, but I'm gone the first through.
Me too.
First part of June, so. Okay, just look, we'll take that up and see if we can get a date on the calendar so that we can actually look at our, to Commissioner Rouse's point, look at where we're at now in relation to this budget that we've approved, amended if necessary to account for some of the items that we deferred, like the fire truck, and then also, part two, look at a forward-looking 2027 budget.
Chief, is this your truck that you're talking about?
The one that's sitting out here right now, yes.
Is that your pickup?
No, it's the engine. It's the main pumper, our first line pumper right now. It's sitting right now. Well, I don't want to block anybody in here. If I need to get out, I need to get out.
That's all right. So, what year is that truck, you know?
04.
Sorry. Oh, brother.
We have two of them that are around 2004, which are the twins. We call them the twins because they look alike. Even there's a little bit of differences in them. One of them is at Station 3 right now out on the island. Servicing out there. Everything tested and pumped fine, but there's been little things since the pump test has went on that we've started finding new stuff that's starting to come up, like the bigger oil leak, the water leak that just started on it. It's just going to take a little time. I mean, I'm looking at everything. Right now I'm having to go back and look at stuff that was fixed and why it was not fixed before I got here. I know there's some money issues and stuff like that right there, but there's safety issue and it's going into pump and staying in the pump is my biggest issue because when you put it in a pump, you actually switch it down, it actually goes into fourth gear. Well, fourth gear seems to be the problem that we're starting to have with right now, so that's why I'm getting ready to move trucks around. I want something more dependable because if I get that other little truck back up here, the first two out trucks at Station 1 are going to be the ones that carry 1,000 gallons of water instead of 750. The one on the island only carries 500 gallons of water, but we got plenty of hydrants on that side. That's why it's there. So, it's sometimes a little bit of a juggling act, but we've got plenty of trucks right now because we've got the big four-wheel drive one set up right now, and it's always ready to go. And it's in good shape. We got a couple of valves that got to be replaced in the front end of them, but the valves aren't going to be that much. And I've got a guy that does that specifically with school last year in Texas. Tomorrow, that right there over at Eureka, and he's part of our volunteers, and he'd be glad to come up there and help us replace the valves for a little bit nothing.
So, sounds good.
I'm on that too, so.
All right.
Thank you.
So, any other Marsh assessments? All right, so I make a motion that we approve the March financials and suspend approval for the April 2026.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. March financials have been approved. Next topic, discussion approval of Doug Beakley's possible reinstatement of amenity privileges. Do I have a motion to discuss?
I make the motion we discuss it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved in second. I'll start off the discussion with a little background real quick. And then I'm going to pass it to you. I'm just going to give us some background because we think the commissioners have been getting feedback from people in the audience, from emails, texts. So I just kind of want to set the kind of the where we're at, the way I understand it, and then I'm going to pass it to the floor or the floor to Doug to go ahead and stand. So I'll start off with that in our HICID regulations, section 14-2, it talks about the employee harassment policy. And in that policy, the district manager has the authorization to suspend privileges for property owners or guests, depending on the types of situations that happen. It specifically says suspend, so people that are asking for banishing or anything like that, it's not his authority to do that. So that's off the table to begin with. Recently, the district manager notified Commissioner Pinkley that he's maintaining the suspension for the remainder of this year. Commissioner Pinkley then asked or directed the district manager to add the topic of this that we're getting ready to talk to the agenda, which every commissioner has the authority to add things to the discussion. So that's the background, that's where we're at, and so because Commissioner Pinkley asked for this topic to be added, and the discussion has been opened, I will ask Commissioner Pinkley to go ahead and make his statement.
Yeah, I asked Rich to put this on the agenda. After 2 months of kind of reflection, I want to apologize for the thing that I was charged with, disorderly conduct. That was no other charges were levied. I want to say that I'm sorry for losing my temper and I caused this problem. I really want to say that it'll never happen again. I'm making a public apology to everyone for disorderly conduct charge. I paid the charge on May 8th. And I truly am sorry for this. And since I have been suspended for 60 days already, I ask the fellow board members to forgive me for this and reinstate my privileges to the ISIS of memories.
Well, I'll start off, but I'm glad to hear that you're apologizing for this. I honestly wish this would have been in another format earlier than this. My gut feeling is that it's a little bit too late for me. I wish this would have been more forthright earlier for that for me.
The only charge on this was disorderly conduct. There were no other charges filed by the attorneys. Prosecuting attorney did not file any other charge. This is just like a trap.
Well, see, that makes me a little nervous, sure. Not to get interrupted, but yeah. That when you say that, I know what I saw or what Rich mentioned, the legal side is, I get that. But I also saw the police report on social media of what, and I've talked to Mark, I've talked to the superintendent, and it's, you pushed him. That's assault.
Well,
I mean, so my point is, if you keep saying it's there's the legal side and then there's our regulation side. The legal side has run its course, but the district manager, for the safety and well-being of his employees, does not feel, I'm speaking for you, but what he's told me is he does not feel...
There's nothing to say. I did not get charged with any of that. That was not a charge. The only charge I got was for disorderly conduct. I gave Rich the papers the day I paid him, and that's the only charge. There's nothing on the record. Whatever the officer wrote, the state Carroll County attorney did not charge me with anything other than disorderly conduct, period. There's nothing on the record of any of that.
And I understand that. That's the legal side. But
well,
our HICID side is in our code of conduct, and we have our own bylaws, our own regulations that dictate we as a community and you as a board member, we actually adhere and support and set the example for making these regulations. It's been on the books. It's very clear. I mean, and we'll call it up and the audience can see it. That it is. Okay, do you want to add anything else, or do you want to...
Well, there's a lot to add. You don't have the whole story.
All right, so...
I think there's no sense us going through that.
Okay.
I don't think that there's any reason that 60 days isn't adequate. I think a year is overdoing it for such a modest charge. This is just like somebody, this is not a big charge at all. It was a minimal fine. There was no other charges.
The reality
of this is nobody could sue the district for any hostile environment, period, because there's nothing on record.
I'd like to comment on this whole thing. First off, I appreciate Commissioner Pinkley making a public apology to the board and the public. But as our regulation clearly states, we have no say in this as commissioners. This is strictly an issue between the district manager and Commissioner Pinkley. Airing it in public is not something we're obligated to do. And I don't know that this discussion even needs to take place. Commissioner Pinkley made his public apology. for us to hash it out now, this is not the forum to do this. This whole thing is between the district manager and Commissioner Pinkley. As commissioners, we have no say in this according to the regulation.
I would absolutely agree, except that Commissioner Pinkley is the one who put it on the agenda. And once it becomes open session, it becomes a, I mean, I even asked our attorney. I said, what happens, you know, because we didn't want to add it to the agenda. We did not want to put it on the agenda. He, as a commissioner, put it on the agenda. And now it's up to all of us to discuss it if we want to. And so, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and I've said my piece, but Commissioner Stith, do you have anything you would like to?
Yes.
I'm just saying.
I too appreciate Mr. Pinkley's apology. It's very much appreciated. But what you were charged with does not have any reflection on what, you know, how this is actually looked at. From being on the board for a year and a half or more, I see a pattern of escalation. And it's my opinion you don't understand the seriousness of your actions. Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is the main law governing workplace harassment claims. Harassment is illegal if, among other criteria, it creates a hostile, intimidating, or abusive work environment. Arkansas Civil Rights Act of 1993 prohibits workplace discrimination and harassment. I was at City Hall recently and found this poster on the wall, and it reads, "It is the policy of the City of Holiday Island for its employees to treat members of the public with common respect. The City demands and expects no less from the public. Employees of the City of Holiday Island do not create ordinances, and as such, do not verbally should not be verbally or in any other way abused for having to enforce those ordinances. Unruly or aggressive behavior is considered harassment. The city will press charges if and when an employee is harassed." And it references Arkansas Code 571-208 at the bottom. We could substitute HICID for city and it would still apply. The above-mentioned employees were doing their jobs. What employers are legally required to do when a complaint is made: one, take it seriously; two, investigate promptly; three, document findings; four, take corrective action if needed; and five, prevent retaliation. Failure to do this can create the liability. District manager has the authority to suspend anyone for misconduct from using the amenities. So far, Rich has completed the to-do list, and the last one is to prevent retaliation. With that in mind, given your history of abusive behavior, I am not convinced your behavior has changed. Even though you've apologized, you still don't realize the seriousness of your actions. And I don't think it will change to allow you back on the course around the employees involved. It's my opinion this is not keeping you from Gotham, but keeping you away from employees in their place of work. Therefore, for the health and safety of employees, I support the district manager in not returning your privileges.
Well, okay. I'm gonna go ahead and explain what this happened and how this happened. I walked in that day, my wife Nicole, she said that the manager was rude to her and the gal was rude to her. I came in there and asked them what was going on, and they got smart with me. Therefore, I said some words to them. I turned around, because we were on the team, I turned away from, I gave in my check. It was all about pay. We hadn't paid our dues, but I hadn't been over there since then. There is a 30-day grace period, and this was on the 2nd or 4th or whatever it was. I turned around, Mark ran around, came totally around the counter, yelling, "Fire me, fire me, get the heck out of here, get out of here," in my face. All I did was push him back one arm's length, because his hand came up like he was going to hit me. My words out of my mouth then were you going to swing at me? Were you going to hit me? He said, "You push me." I said, I'm getting ready to leave. He was between me and the door. Okay, so he was more aggressive. This would have never happened if he wouldn't have ran around that bar or ran around the deal and got in my face. It would have never happened. So he is just as guilty as I am for this deal. He should have been arrested too.
All right. Well, is there any further discussion? Because I make a motion to support the district manager's decision to keep Commissioner Pinkley's suspension of amenity privileges in effect for the remainder of the year. Do I have a second? It's been moved and second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Me.
I abstain. I don't think this is the forum to be doing this.
Okay, so the motion has passed. Or it's a two.
Sustain.
Abstain means you're not voting.
You didn't vote.
You didn't vote.
No.
And then he voted no.
David,
that's a 2-1, right?
You did not vote.
Well, I vote to. It was my motion.
You still got to take a.
All right, I vote that. I support my motion.
What are we voting on?
A motion to support the district manager's decision. He's made the decision to keep Commissioner Pinkley's suspension of amenity privileges in effect for the remainder of the year. Because Commissioner Pinkley asked us in this discussion to give him his privileges back. That's what he said that when he started this. He wants his privileges back. It's been 2 months, and he feels that's enough. And so we have to vote on what we're going to overrule the district manager or not. And I'm not overruling the district manager.
Well, one thing I would question as a commissioner, as Commissioner made comments about all these incidents, I've yet to see any documentation of anything. And this harassment thing is typically a pattern. It's not a one-time event, which this was. And you want to bring up previous harassment things, unless there's any documentation, those don't even exist.
I'm not actually voting on anything else. My vote is strictly on this incident, which was an assault. I don't care, and by my definition of what I consider assault, and what, you know, I think the court, you were charged with assault. Whether or not you were guilty of it is a different story.
Well, it is. It's not a different story. If he's not guilty, then it's not an assault.
Doesn't rule what we do here.
Okay. I vote no.
Okay.
So this is not the forum and we should not even be doing this.
So the vote is 2-2. If the motion fails. So the district manager, it's still in effect. His privileges are not in state. He's no longer able to use the amenity privileges till the end of this year.
For a minuscule deal.
That's where we're at.
David, my point is that this whole issue is strictly between Rich and Commissioner Pinkley.
I agree.
We as a board have no say in this whatsoever according to the regulation. And to try to read anything into it is a wrong.
Okay, well, it's failed, so it's not going to happen anyway. So.
Very well.
All right. Any public comments? Okay. So actually, I think, so Andy was, sorry, do you have any public comments?
The question was answered.
Okay.
There was a second.
Oh.
Show me a second.
Dave over Oak Point Drive. When I was assigned to the task force for the city of Holiday Island Fire Department, there was one issue that never really got resolved. There's an outfit that would charge 20% or somewhere in that area to bill someone that got in a wreck over on the highway or whatever, and we could recover that money. Did anything ever come of that?
Yeah, I was on that task force, and exactly, David, what we're talking about is in this regulation that we were just discussing, which was whatever the first regulation was.
Yeah.
But someone, there was.
The regulation is 2026 R2, which does set up a pay fee schedule for an outside third party to collect fees for accidents that happen out of the district, out on the highway, that we can bill insurance companies.
Can we? I mean, we've been.
Yeah, that's in this regulation.
We can, but have we ever?
Have we ever? No.
What happened?
Well, we haven't passed the resolution to allow that to happen, but that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but insurance company would have to pay regardless of our resolution, right?
No, well, that's the gray area. That's why we were advised for legal to do this because it's a gray area, because we're not a city. Because the city doesn't own the fire department. So to play it safe, we're doing this.
Gotcha.
And that's why we're going through a firm to take care of it for us.
Right. Yeah, but it takes a percentage, but it's better than us doing it, right?
Yes. Right. This is the same thing that we talked about in that task force some months back, was the same thing.
Right.
We're just now getting it passed.
Or trying to get it passed
as a resolution. We couldn't just implement what you and I both looked at in that task force is pretty much in this.
Unless we were the city, right? Unless the city has.
The city has, by the start, what I've seen on the Arkansas State Code, the cities and towns can do that.
Yeah, okay.
Without having to, you could just contract with them directly.
Yeah.
But the city doesn't own the fire department yet.
Okay.
We're getting there, David.
Okay.
Any other public comments? Any commissioner comments?
Yeah, I do. I had a couple of complaints about the restrooms at the marina, as who is responsible for keeping them clean. I stopped by on my way this morning to this meeting and took a picture of the restroom down there, and there's trash and a full trash can, and it's not cleaned in some time, but it's hard to say that because it's just Memorial Day weekend. But I also noticed that there's only one of the two restrooms that are unlocked and even able to use. Why the other one's locked, I have no idea. But in looking it up in the lease for the marina, item 31, number one, clearly states, daily housekeeping and maintenance of leased facilities, including the concession, office facilities, the restroom located in the adjacent parking area, and all boat docks, walkways, and slips. All this housekeeping is on the marina personnel. And I think we need to send a letter, and Rich has already conveyed to me that he's going to send some emails to Colin and let him know that he's in violation of his lease by not keeping those restrooms clean. That it's not Tyson's responsibility. Our responsibility is to enforce the lease.
Yeah, I sent an email out to him this morning of a list of stuff that needed to be looked at and taken care of, and then I'm going to meet with him this week to go over some other stuff so that way we can get this taken care of.
I believe we're about 4 years into a 7-year lease. Yeah. Is that right?
2029.
And there's some other items in his lease that we need to bring up again, and one is the expansion of
the restaurant
facility, and his three items that he has to do every year as a condition of release. One is to put on a fireworks show, and then there's two other things that he has to do, public events, and I don't know what those are because I've not seen any schedule or any mention of what he has intended.
Yeah, and I'm hoping he takes over the fishing tournament that we were lacking this year, which I approached him about this year, but it was too late in the season for him to try and put it on. So he should be taking over the fishing tournament we usually host every year, too.
Most of those are going out of Eagle Rock now.
Mm-hmm.
So does he have three events planned for this year?
I have not seen an agenda for him for any events besides the fireworks. And, he always does the kid fishing tournament at off the point. Are the only two I've seen from him.
Okay. Well, hopefully the restrooms get cleaned up, and I'd like to know why of the two restrooms there, only one is unlocked. Is there a reason for the other one to be locked?
I don't know. There shouldn't be. Usually when he locks them, it's due to a leak, but he hasn't told me anything about a leak, and he usually gets a hold of us to have it fixed or have the water department look at it. So I haven't heard anything from him about it.
In looking at it, I can see the men's and women's signs on the doors have been removed. The doors haven't been painted in who knows how long, but it just looks bad.
Okay.
That's my only comment.
Okay. Any other Commissioner comments. Agenda scheduling.
June 15th, work session.
Okay.
And June 22nd, regular meeting.
And then you're going to look at possibly some special meeting.
And then special, I'll check in with special meeting for revising the budget side of it.
Any questions?
You say June 20th?
15th?
June 15th, June 22nd.
22nd.
Yeah, that's what I wrote down.
Okay. Anything else?
When did you plan on special meeting?
Well, I'll have to let you know.
He has to talk to Jennifer.
I'll get with Jennifer, and then I'll get with every one of you to make sure when your calendars are open. But we'll try and get...
We have to have it all done by then, too, and look it over now.
Okay, do you have a motion to adjourn?
Aye.
It's been moved, second.
Second.
It's been moved, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. This meeting is adjourned.